Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. And we're going to go to chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. As we continue our journey through the New Testament in 2012, we're getting near the end of the epistles. And won't be long before it'll be the end of our journey. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I am going to read verses 3 through 10. I heard pages turning. You have your place. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting in verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, there are many, many different topics that your word teaches us. And Father, today there is a topic that you want to teach all of us. So, Father, may your word, this scripture, be crystal clear to each and every one of us here this morning. May the message that you have laid on my heart be acceptable to you. And, Father, may it fall on the ears of all of us in here who really need to hear this. May I decrease, may you increase. And this is all for your glory, Lord. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain topics that when preached can and will make the people in the pews twitch just a little bit. These topics have a tendency to make people feel just a bit uncomfortable. Today will be one of those topics. Today, we're going to talk about money. Let's talk about money. So if you want to go ahead and twitch a little bit and get comfortable right now, go ahead and do it. And we'll see what God's word has to say to all of us. I want to keep this dollar bill right here because I'm going to be using it here every now and again. Keep that $1 bill. This past week in our journey through the New Testament in 2012, we read all six chapters of 1 Timothy. This coming week, we're going to read the books of 2 Timothy and Titus. And these three books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, are what are called the pastoral letters. The books of 1 and 2 Timothy are written by Paul to Timothy, who is the overseer or the pastor at the church in Ephesus. The book of Titus is also written by the apostle Paul to a man named Titus, who is the overseer or the pastor at the church on the island of Crete. The main thrust of all three of these letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 14 and 15. And Paul writes this to Timothy, and he says this, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed," here comes the key point, "you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." People like myself, the pastors and leaders of a church, we need to know how to conduct ourselves in God's household. The congregation of a church needs to know how to conduct themselves in God's household. There is a proper organization to church, and there is proper conduct within that church. And may I remind all of us that church goes far beyond the boundaries of the walls here of this building at Beech Grove. Paul covers many different issues in these three pastoral letters, but this morning I just want to focus on one. Money. Nobody's twitching, that's good. Let's see what happens. Contrary to what many people will tell you, money is not the root of all kinds of evil. Well, did we just read that? No. We read that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And there is a difference. So here's today's question that we all need to answer for ourselves. Are you content with what you have? Operative word, content. Verse 6 says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." On your totem pole of things that you worship and idolize, is God above money, or is money above God? Are you truly content with placing God first and above all things, including your money and your possessions? Operative word, content. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Those two go hand in hand. You could actually say that verse in reverse. You could say, "For where your heart is, your treasure will be also." Your treasure and your heart and your treasure. I guarantee, where you find one, you will find the other. Later on in verse 24, Jesus says that we cannot serve both God and money. The only conclusion from that we can make is this: either one or the other is going to be our master. Which one is it going to be? Let me say this: having money, or even having lots of money, is not in itself a bad thing or a wrong thing. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21 tells us that God will bestow wealth on those who love Him, making their treasures full. God does bless certain people financially. Let's go back and look at Job. Job was a very rich man before he had his Job experience back in the book of Job. But if you go on after that experience, if you go on to read chapter 42, it says this, that Job was blessed even more in the latter part of his life than what he was in the first part of his life. God does bless some people financially. But that's not the question. The question is this. How do I know if I am going to place God over money or if I place money over God? There are three fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin, and we'll use those three fill-in-the-blanks as measuring sticks to help us identify the answer to that question. The question is, do I put God over money or do I put money over God? Here's one measuring stick. Fill in the blank number one. You know you love money more than God when you never have enough. When you never have enough. So ask yourself, do I always want more money? You know that there are some people that never have enough money, and they always want more and more and more. On the contrary, if you are content with what you have, then you love God more than you love money. Because if you're content with what you have, you always have enough. Operative word, content. That takes me back to our wisdom scripture for this morning, which I'm going to go back and read just one more time. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Good advice. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what do people do who don't have enough money? How do they try to obtain it? Now here's where I might tramp on a few toes here this morning. Many different ways you can try to obtain it. But one thing they do is they play the lottery. One thing they do is gamble. Okay, some people buy lottery tickets. Some people gamble. Here's just a couple different ways that people gamble. On horse racing, at casinos, on card games, on sports betting, a roll of the dice, etc., etc. Why do they gamble and why do people buy lottery tickets? Is there love of money greater than their love for God? Do they place more faith in chance than in the promises of God? To those who might play the lottery, to those who might gamble, or to those who think they don't have enough money, Jesus says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great promise? He will meet all of our needs. If you never have enough money, you will never be content because you will always want more. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. How do I know if I love money more than I love God? Second fill in the blank. You know you love money more than God when you resent giving it. When you resent giving it. The rich young ruler back in Luke chapter 18, he had a problem with this. Jesus tells him, The rich young ruler says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him this answer. Well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But what did the man do? He went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. His money was far more important than following Christ. People who don't like to give money don't give money because they are always in the mode of using their money to make sure that they get something for it. If I am going to give this almighty dollar, I must get something in return. That is their philosophy. I must get something that I can see, something that I can touch, something that I can feel. On the contrary, if you are content with giving, then you love God more than money because you understand that God loves a cheerful giver. Operative word, content. And I hope that we all understand that there is a great biblical principle in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, you reap what you sow. And that includes giving financially to God in some way, giving to this church, etc. In my early days as a Christian, I heard a pastor say this. You know, you build on those foundational statements that you hear pastors say. And this man said this, you cannot outgive God. The best investment that any one of us could ever make is investing in the kingdom of God. And no matter what you give to God, and no matter what way you give that, be it your time, your talent, or your treasure, in some way, He is going to give you more back in return. That's His promise. And that promise is found in many different places. One of them is Luke chapter 6, verse 38, when Jesus says this, give it, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you give, it will be measured to you. So, just to recap. So, we are content with what we have, and we are content in giving because we love God more than we love money. And now let's go to our last fill in the blank. How do we know we love God more than money or money more than God? Third fill in the blank. You know you love money more than God when you sin to get it. When you sin to get it. Let's, for some of us that can do this, let's turn back the hands of time 38 years back to 1974. You remember where you were back in 1974? I remember exactly where I was in 1974. And I remember this song being played on the radio in 1974. It was a song by a band called the OJs. The name of the song was this, For the Love of Money. Remember the song? You're daring me to sing it to you, and I'm not going to do it. And I'm not picking up the guitar and playing it either. Go to iTunes and listen to it. For the Love of Money. Yes, it was a secular song. But the words were very much rooted in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Here are some of the words out of that secular song that very much have a biblical connotation. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, people can't even walk the street because they never know who in the world they're going to beat for that lean, mean, green, almighty dollar. The next verse. For the love of money, people will lie, they will cheat. For the love of money, people don't care who they hurt or beat. For the love of money, a woman will sell her precious body. For the love of money, for a small piece of paper, it carries a lot of weight. We'll call it that lean, mean, green, almighty dollar. Not bad for a secular group singing a secular song with a lot of biblical overtones. On the contrary, if you are content with living a righteous lifestyle, then you love God more than money because you understand that sin is no longer your master. Operative word, content. This third fill in the blank is the main thrust of this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9 tells us this. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. What will we do for money? Will we sin for money? Hey, many people do. And we find that progression kind of listed out in verse number 9 that I just read. And here's the progression. Verse 9 says this, that the love of money, first of all, it is foolish and it is harmful. And we do have the opportunity to stop right there. But sometimes it moves on. And that foolish and harmful leads us into traps and into temptations. And yes, we could stop right there. But sometimes we take the third and final step, which results in ruin and in destruction. And that, my friends, foolish and harmful, leading to traps and temptation, leading to ruin and destruction, that is the formula for sin. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 tells us this, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That verse says this, by our own evil desire. What is that? What is our own evil desire? The person wants to get rich. They want to get rich. So they're tempted and they're dragged away and they're enticed and it gives birth to sin. And sin leads to death. Remember the parable back in Matthew chapter 13, the sower and the seed? Some of those seeds, one of the four, falls among the thorns. And Jesus explains that verse and says this, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it. So what happened to that person who seemed to be taking root and growing up? But the worries of the life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it out. They become apostates. Their sin was apostasy. That person fell away from a professed faith, not a possessed faith, a professed faith. And that is the deadliest sin of all. The person rejects God's word because they loved wealth more than they loved God. When I study and prepare to preach a message for the coming Sunday, and when I preach on verses like this from 1 Timothy chapter 6, these verses 3 through 10, it really makes me wonder how some preachers can preach a wealth and prosperity gospel. Because that type of gospel, that entices me. And that encourages the greed in me. And it wants to well up because my love of money is still in there somewhere. It's still in my human condition. And that pastor is bringing that out in me and giving me these false promises. This morning, just this morning, as I was flipping the channels, there was a pastor on there. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be like Billy Graham. I will mention his name, Creflo Dollar. Has a sermon series that you can buy for $50. The title of the sermon series, More Than Enough. And he said this, and I quote because I wrote it down. Do not be satisfied with not enough. God wants you to have more than enough. Well, my friend Creflo, I don't believe you've ever read 1 Timothy chapter 6 or Proverbs chapter 30 that says that godliness means we are content with what God has given us. That, my friends, is a false gospel, and he is a false teacher. And if you haven't heard that already, you heard it right here from me. A person who wants to get rich and get wealthy, that was the old Mike. He's not here anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. Here's what I want to be taught as a Christian. Teach me humility. Teach me holiness. And teach me to be content with what you have given me. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. So I am not very godly if I am pursuing money, if I am pursuing possessions, and when I'm pursuing stuff. Contentment surely is a Christian virtue. So we are content with what we have, and we are content in giving. And we are content in our righteousness. And those, my friends, are the signs of godliness. Those are the signs of a true Christian. Let's go to God in prayer.